All right. Well, you guys, man, it is an absolute joy to be here with you. My wife, Susie, and I, we love Church of the Valley. It was awesome all the years back inviting Justin here and Ecclesia, and we love Boyd and Brittany, and we love what God is doing here. Love the church. We just love the church, and we love what God is up to. But I didn't love January 22nd. So Susie and I, we watched a movie one night, and I fell asleep on the love seat after the movie was done in kind of an awkward position. Woke up the next morning, and my back was sore. And I'm like, why is my back sore? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I fell asleep on the couch. For about 10 days, my back got worse and worse. And then on January 22nd, in the middle of the night, I woke up, and I could not move. And I was actually sleeping on our guest bed because it's a little more firm at that time. So I literally had to call my wife in the morning and said, hello, Susie, will you come get me? Any Brian Regan fans there? Okay. Literally, she came. I couldn't move. She got me. I stepped out of bed. And you guys, it was the most, really, it was embarrassing. I screamed and wailed and wept like a baby. I have never experienced pain like that before in my life. For the next 2 weeks, I could not sit or stand for more than 30 seconds, and I couldn't lay on my back, so I literally laid on my stomach for 2 weeks straight, and then a third week, 3 weeks. Can I just tell you, that is not how it's supposed to be. Now, the only other time I ever felt pain like that was when I was in eighth grade. My dad, again, was a football coach. He was he coached football, basketball, baseball. He was a phys ed teacher. All I wanted to do with all my life was play football. And so now I'm old. And so back when I played, you couldn't play tackle until eighth grade. So you had to play the little sissy flag thing. Finally, we get to eighth grade, and it's the first game of the season, man, and I am balling out. I'm giving it everything I've got. It's just so much fun. And I grab this guy, and I tackle him, and I pulled him on top of me like this. And then all of a sudden, everybody else jumped on top to the point where the guy's face mask was right on my face mask. And I just, all of a sudden, I looked at him, and I said, get off! Just screamed in his face. His eyes got really big. One by one, everybody started to get off, and I looked over, and my arm was here, then here, then here, and then here. It was literally an S. And I laid there, and I said, why me? Excruciating pain. Here's the deal. It's not the way it's supposed to be. So how are things supposed to be? How are they supposed to be? Well, God says, I have a will. He says he has a good purpose, and he alone knows how things are supposed to be. I love the book of Ephesians, did all my Greek work in the book of Ephesians. I've read through it so many times. Susie and I decided to take our church through the book of Ephesians. Couldn't wait for everybody to get this. And here I am in the first chapter, and I get to verse 9 and 10, and I'm like, I have read this and studied this. This is what I love about the Word of God. And then sometimes it just pops out at you. Look at verse 9 and 10. It says that God is making known to us the mystery of his will. So right there, your antenna should just go up, because I think everybody's like, God, what are you up to? What is your will? Well, he's made known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. The whole purpose of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Why did Jesus come? His purpose was as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth in him. The whole purpose of God sending Jesus Christ, his will, was that through Christ, somehow, God is going to be able to unite all things under him. That's how things are supposed to be. That, when the will of God is called good and pleasing and perfect, it's when everything is unified. So in verse 12, he goes on, and he did that so that we, okay, now Paul's at the very beginning, so he could say, we who were the first to hope in Christ, but still to this day, God's purpose is that we who hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. That's God's will, you guys. We, okay? Not me, not you individually. We would be to the praise of God's glory. Now, what's glory? It's really interesting because the word glory actually means weight. So in other words, when something is heavy, it can move you, right? If something doesn't have any weight to it physically, it can't move me. But if somebody has a lot of weight, they can take me down. So it moves you. And when we think about things that are glorious, we think of awe and beauty and wonder and majesty. And when we see glorious things like that, they move us. So, I'm from Detroit, right? I'm a football guy, so I love sports. And so what's funny is I will, even here in Salt Lake, I will actually see Detroit Lions stickers and bumper stickers. Now, I gotta be honest with you. I'm like, why? We have been horrible my whole life until 2 years ago. So whenever I see somebody, whether they're wearing a hat or something, I always go up and I go, hey, I see you're a Lions fan. Are you from Michigan? And most of the times they'll say yes. If they don't say yes, every time, there's only one reason people are Lions fans. Anybody know why? Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders. If you're a football fan at all, sometimes I will just go to YouTube and I will watch Barry Sanders clips because he's glorious. To watch him run, it puts you in awe. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And so what happens is people saw Barry and he was glorious and it moved them to become his fan and fans of the Lions. A couple years ago, Susie and I got to go to Les Mis at Eccles Theater. First of all, how many of you been to Eccles Theater? Yeah, like half of you? Just walking in there. I mean, it is glorious. It's just beautiful. But you guys, I sat there watching Les Mis, and probably about five or six times, I was just moved to tears. Now, the story will move you to tears, but you know what moved me to tears? I was in awe at the talent and the ability of both the production and the actors. It was glorious, and so it moved me to tears. And then this last year, Susie and I got to go to the Grand Canyon. And I tell you what, man, I remember the first time I went, I couldn't believe it. That is awesome. But to sit at the Grand Canyon while the sun is setting, I mean, it's glorious. And what does it do? It moves people from all over the world to see it. It's crazy when you're walking around the canyon. There's people from every country. You can understand about half the people around because people are all these different languages, okay? Listen to me, man. That's what glory does. Glory draws people. It moves people to adore and to eventually be committed to it. Whether you're committed to be a fan or committed to spend thousands of dollars to travel across the world so that you can be there. And the scripture tells us that you and I are to be to the praise of his glory. That's what the church is supposed to be. So somehow the church is supposed to move people to the glory of Jesus. That's what we're about. That's God's purpose. And how does he do it? Through unity. He goes, if you guys are unified, then we will be to the praise of his glory and everybody around us will actually be moved towards Christ. So in chapter 1 of Ephesians, it's all about union with him. The first thing that happens is we praise God for the unity that we have in Christ. We're in Christ and Christ is in us. Chapters 2 and 3 are all about union between Jew and Gentile, people who absolutely hated each other. And it says that Christ made them one new body. He unified them. Okay. And so we're going to go into chapter 4. Church of the Valley, you guys ready? All right, here we go. The end of chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we could ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us, to him be glory in Church of the Valley. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. And that means right now in 2026, forever and ever. Amen. So Boyd gave me, I was going to do Acts because I know you guys are in Acts. And then he said, hey, he just called me and said, dude, would you just speak on whatever you want to speak on? Would you just share whatever God moves to share with you guys? And I want to tell you, man, I think this is the most important thing for us to hear. Well, it's got to be the most important thing because it is God's will purposed in Christ to unite us. And can I just tell you something? If that's God's will, that Church of the Valley, you guys right here, and then that all the churches in this valley would actually be united, if that's the will of God, then we have an enemy, and what's his will? To divide us, man. Which is so interesting because the last chapter in Ephesians is what? Spiritual warfare. So get ready, man, because if you're going to try to actually follow God's will, but I want to tell you, this is God's will for you. If you are a part of Church of the Valley, his will is that you guys would be united and that people through Church of the Valley would be drawn and moved to want to become fans of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what you're here for. All right? So now we get to chapter 4. Because there's three things in this section that was just read for you. There's three things that you and I, if we're going to follow Jesus and be to the praise of his glory, that we must do. Okay? Here's the first one. It's the glory of unity through peace. The glory of unity through peace. So here's God saying, the scripture saying, God will do immeasurably more than all you could think. I know in the NIV it says that you can imagine. I don't know about you guys. I like to imagine. I can imagine some pretty big things. And no matter what I can dream up, God's like, that's nothing, man. But how are we going to do this? And then he says, chapter 4, the glory would be through the church. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Okay? Every one of you are in here. By the way, I love the sense, I love the church. I don't know most of you at all. So I don't know if you're here just checking it out. I don't know if you're trying to, you know, discover what's Jesus actually about, what is God actually about. I just want to tell you, you're gonna hear that today. But man, if you're a Christian and if you're born of his spirit and you're here and you're part of Church of the Valley, you have been called by God. Do you know that? You have a calling. And Paul says, I urge you. And what's the calling? It's to be to the praise of the glory of Jesus. That's your calling. And so then how do we do it? Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, it was interesting because this word eager, whenever I prep a message, I love the technology today. I actually have 5 versions of the scriptures in front of me because everybody, all these scholars, English scholars are trying to take the Greek and then figure out which one word is the best. This is the ESV, which is a great translation. Love it. But I got to say, I don't know if I love this word eager. To be eager to maintain the unity, because what eager is it's an intense desire. That's what eager is. It's an emotion. It's like, oh, I want that. Okay? But the word, if you look it up in the Greek, spousazo, it means diligence. It means constant and constance in effort to accomplish something, to move or to act in haste. It means make every effort. So eager is in here, but you could be eager and never do anything. But that's not what this is saying, man. What he's saying is you make every effort. You be diligent. You give everything you've got inside of you to maintain the unity of the Spirit. That's what you are called to do because that's why Jesus Christ came. Because if you're unified, as he says in John 17, then the whole world will know that I came from the Father. So, man, we got to fight for this, you guys. This matters, I think, when I understand the scriptures more than anything because it's the will of God. And this is why it's so hard to do, and it's why the enemy is so apt to fight to keep it from happening. Maintain the unity of the Spirit, which means you don't have to get it. You already have it. So you're only maintaining, you're only keeping what you already possess. When you receive Christ, in fact, it goes on, and I didn't put the scripture up, but the verse 4 and 5 says, you guys, there's only one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. I love Paul. What's he trying? He's trying to get something across here, right? One. One God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. What's Paul saying? You, if you're a follower of Jesus, the only way you are is because you were born of his Spirit. And if I'm born of his Spirit, Tyler, you're born of his Spirit. Susie's born of his Spirit. But we're all born of his Spirit. He goes, you have the Spirit of God. So you're going to need to maintain the Spirit of unity. He's in you. So when there's conflict, which is inevitable, by the way, anybody married? Okay, I love this woman. It's impossible for one human to get close to another human without conflict. And we're all looking for the perfect church where we're all going to get along. Good luck. The only reason the New Testament was written is because every church was screwed up. Okay? So, when conflict comes, which is inevitable, there is the chance that conflict could lead to division. And if division happens, the enemy just won. And that's his will, because he does not want the church to be unified. So, what do you do? He says, you make every effort. Conflict happens, you make every effort. You are diligent and you do whatever it takes. So in Matthew 5, 23 and 24, it says, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, so in, you know, that would basically be you came to church today and you're going to praise God, you're going to worship him, maybe take communion. If you're there at the offering your gift at the altar and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there, front of the altar, and first go. There it is. Make every effort, be diligent, do whatever it takes. This is Jesus, by the way. If you come to church and you're ready to praise God, you're going to worship him, and while you're worshiping him, you just go, oh man, I know somebody else has something against me. Apparently Jesus is like, stop singing and leave. Go first. Go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift. And then in Matthew 18, 15, it says, if your brother or sister sins against you, go. So either way, so if somebody has something against you, go. If somebody sinned against you, go. Why? Because you guys, if when conflict arises, which it's going to happen, we have to make every effort to fight for the unity of the Spirit, because Jesus' will purposed in Christ was to unite everything. And his church is supposed to be the one place in all of the world that shows a unified front because we love each other the way Jesus loved us. Amen? Amen. Come on, man. You live in America? Does America need this right now? It's going to be hard. We got to do it. Now, how do you do it? How do we actually fight for the unity of the peace? With all humility, gentleness, patience, and we bear with one another in love. I am going to give you one other verse, James 3, 17 and 18. This passage, you guys, is so powerful to me. I remember years ago, I actually
went through every word and dove into it because I really wanted to understand how do I be a peacemaker? And it was so funny because, well, let me read it for you and then I'll share the story. It says, the wisdom that actually comes from heaven is first of all pure. So if you're in a hard situation, what are you supposed to do? God, I need your wisdom. He goes, well, first it should be pure. And I know for me, that means that I cannot have mixed motives, right? So it's just like with my wife and I. One of the earliest things in marriage, right, is you got to figure out when do you say something and when don't you say something. And one of the things I learned is if I want to win the argument because I'm right, then I need to shut up. And not until I know that what I say to her is because I love her and I love us. I love us. And once my heart is pure, okay, and I'm not trying to prove myself right or win the argument, then I think you can start to have the wisdom that's actually from heaven. So, it's first of all, it's pure. Then look at this. It's peace-loving. It's considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. I love that. A harvest of righteousness, that's glorious. You guys, that's symphonies and sunsets. It draws and it moves people to praise God and be devoted to Jesus. So years ago, K2 is a church that we planted and I pastored for 22 years. And we moved into this building right off of I-15 with a charter school. And they had like 1,200 students and we had about that many people. And so we all moved into this building together and they're gonna share our auditorium that we built out. We're gonna share their classrooms and everything's gonna just be peaceful. Oh my gosh. I mean, it was crazy. We stepped on each other's toes every week. And the person who was the head of their arts program, man, she was a tiger. She was great, but she wanted I just got so tired of this. So one day a text comes in from Mike, the guy, the head of the school. Hey, we need to have another meeting. And I'm like, oh, Lord. And so I was just praying. I said, Jesus, I need to know what to do. And all I could hear was James 3. And I'm like, no, I need to know what to do. And he's like, James 3. So I went back and I just pulled this up and I sat with it. And I go, okay, I'm going to go into this meeting. And the first thing that has to happen is my motive has to be pure. If I don't love these guys, I shouldn't even go into that meeting. Do I love K2 or do I love international school? Which school? Who do I love? If I don't love them, I have no wisdom from heaven. And then I got to be peace-loving. And then I have to be considerate. So that means I have to consider what their needs are and what they want instead of what my staff wants. I have to be submissive. Oh, I think my team's not going to like me very well. So I have to submit to what this other group wants. I have to be full of mercy and good fruit. I have to be impartial, which means I can't care more about my church than I do their school. That's the wisdom from heaven. And then I have to be, and all of that has to be sincere. And I'll never forget, I'm like, all right. So I went into this meeting, and I had no idea what to do, but I did that. And you know what happened? We had a great meeting. And peace came between our organizations. And I was like, oh my gosh, God's word works. Imagine that. Hey, are you living in such a way that you're for the praise of his glory? And you are because you're like, no, whenever conflict happens, man, I'm a peacemaker. I'm gonna be submissive and considerate and impartial and humble and gentle. Now, what if you're not eager to be that way? Because let's just be honest. If someone's really hurt you and it's a major conflict, my guess is in here, the scripture, be eager. You're like, nope. Nope. I got nothing of that inside of me. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do if, let me ask you, some of you, I'm sure there's no way there could be this many people in this room where you don't have a conflict right now with somebody, maybe even in the church, and you're making zero effort. You're avoiding, and you're staying away. So what are you going to do when you read the word like this? Okay? So here's what you do. This is so good. You go to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all you could ask or imagine according to his power at work within you. Man, I tell you, if I'm learning anything after 61 years on this planet and 39 years of ministry, it's that I finally can agree with Paul and rejoice in my weakness. I can't do it. And I'm finally learning when he said, come to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not being a peacemaker, peacemakers are blessed because they're called the children of God. So if you can't do it, what do? You go to the throne of grace, and the first thing you do is you confess to God, and you say, God, I went to church this morning, and this jerk showed me the scriptures. And there's no way I can get around the fact that you are asking me to go into this conflict and to make peace. I can't do it. Well, first of all, I confess that I haven't been doing it, and I'm holding grudges, and I won't forgive them. The first thing you gotta do is go to the throne of grace, confess the fact that you're not living in the will of God to bring unity. Confess that to him, and the beautiful thing, and Jesus will just embrace you, and he'll go, thank you, thank you. I love you so much. I know this is hard. I totally forgive you. Remember we sang the song, right? All the sins, all the blood, the blood's washed away everything. So just go get cleansed first, because you can't do that. Let Jesus cleanse your conscience from acts that lead to death. Death is separation, conflict, destruction. Go to the blood of Christ, cleanse your conscience from acts that lead to death so that you can serve the living God. And then you go to the throne of grace and you say, okay, Lord, I have no idea how to do this. Please help me. I love Dallas Willard's definition of grace is when God does for you what you can't do. Isn't that awesome? That's why we're saved by grace, because you can't save yourself. God does for you what you can't do. But man, read the scriptures, you guys. You aren't just saved by grace. Grace is the thing that actually trains us. Grace, God still wants to do for you what you can't do. So you go to him and just say, help me, Lord, help me. I want to follow you. I want to be for the praise of your glory. I want to follow your will. I want to be part of the answer of the church of why Jesus Christ came to the earth. Will you help me? And God will do for you what you can't do. So, application today, blessed are you if you're a peacemaker, because then you're a child of God. So if you are sitting here right now and you're at odds with somebody, then just listen to Jesus. He's your Lord. I love that. Just recently I read where Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Oh, we love to sing, Lord, I, you know, all to you I surrender. It's more like, some of it, as long as it's not hard. But today, your Lord and Savior says, if you came in here to offer your gift to me, and you know somebody has something against you, then leave church today and go. Ask me, I'll go with you. By the way, Jesus never asked you to do anything for him. He only asked you to join him in what he's doing. And what he's doing is uniting the church. Okay? All right, I got to shut up and go on to the next one. The glory of the unity through peace, though, it's huge. And then Paul goes on, and now he talks about the glory of unity in diversity. There's a glory in unity within diversity. So Ephesians 4:7, grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. In Romans 12:6, Paul put it this way, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Okay? So God gave us, every one of you, if you're a follower of Christ, 1 Corinthians teaches this, that you receive the Spirit, you have a gift that the Spirit has given you. He decided what it is. You didn't even get to vote for it. And then, so then in Ephesians 4, he goes on in verse 11, and so he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. So all of these are the gifts of leadership. So only some actually got these gifts of leadership. It's to the measure of Christ's gift. So, and you know what's interesting? That all five of these are different. They're all leadership, but they're all very different. So I went on Church of the Valley's website. What do you guys have? You have Boyd Bettis, lead senior pastor. Okay? So, by the way, there's no word for pastor. It's so funny when the Bible translates pastor. It's just the word shepherd. Okay? That's what the actual word is. So, but anyway, you have that, and then you have elders, and then you have Leanne, who oversees your children program, and you have deacons. Okay? What's Boyd's job? What is the elder's job here at Church of the Valley? And Leanne's and the deacons. First of all, it's to set a clear, compelling, unified vision with purpose and direction and strategy. That's their job, okay? Now, personally, I love the diversity of the church. When I first got here and I moved in here 23 years ago, the first thing I did is I just met with almost every pastor I could in the valley. Here's my point. I don't care if you wear robes. I don't care if you got flags waving. I don't care if you teach expositionally or if you teach by topics. You know what? It doesn't matter. Are you preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? And if you are, then I'm for you. By the way, we need different churches, don't we? I mean, how many of you are here because you didn't like all the rest of them? Everybody moves to a city. I'm trying to find a church I like, that you like. Well, that's because we need different churches. So I love the fact that there's so many different churches. I always have, as long as you're preaching the gospel. Okay? Now, let me just tell you something. You go to a church, they cast their vision, and it doesn't jive with you. You know what happened with me? So we had an opening class, so the people would come to if they're interested in coming to K2, and we would throw it out, and every time I just say, so that's who we are. That's who God's called us to be. If you don't jive with that, go somewhere else. There's a church in the valley that actually cares about what you care about. I guarantee. In fact, I probably know their pastor, and I'll tell you where to go. Because I love these guys. I'm for the unity of the church, man. So just find a place. So if you go and you don't jive, then there is a place that will. But here's what's important. In Hebrews 13, 17, and this is a great passage for a visiting pastor to teach on. It's very hard to teach this when you're the pastor of the church. Listen to this. Have confidence in your, Hebrews 13, 17, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. As one that God called to lead a church, that scares the crap out of me. Do you guys know the weight that Boyd and Brittany carry? Do you know the weight your elders carry? Because they know. They know that one day they're going to stand for Jesus and they're going to be held account for how they watched over you. And then it says, so do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden. For that would be of no benefit to you. So basically, man, when you're in a church and you have leadership, and every church has leadership, and it says have confidence, and that word actually means to be persuaded, trust, listen to. It's interesting because some of the English translations say obey your leaders. Personally, again, I don't like that. I never stood in front of K2 and said, obey me. Okay, that's a little scary. Now, trust me, okay? And trust the direction that we're going. And if you can't, right? Now, if you can't, what do you do? What do you do? Well, what we do is we talk to other people in the church. That's what we actually do. Crazy to me how when you don't like how things are going, you get over here and we start talking to other people about it. That's called gossip, y'all. That's right in there with all the big sins. Don't do it. Do not do it. It's divisive and demonic. I can say that as strong as I can because James 3 says it, man. Where there's disorder and chaos, it's because there's selfish ambition. So don't ever talk to other people about the leadership of your church, okay? So talk, now, unless you're going to go to them and say, hey, I really want to talk to the leadership. Would you help me? Because here's what I'm struggling with. Because then if you're going to do something, it's not gossip. You might need some counsel. That's okay. But talk to them. I'm telling you, just talk to us. Just talk to your leaders. Oh, how I am so grateful for the people who loved me enough, because it's love to speak truth, which we'll get to in a second. I am so grateful for the people who loved me enough to share their concerns with me. And you know what? And when I felt loved, I'm like, you can tell me anything if I know you're for me. So be for your leaders, you guys. This is huge. And here's the other thing. Can I just encourage you? If you can't stick with, and then it's okay if you can't stick with the vision of the church. There's lots of different unique visions. Please don't just leave without talking to them. I'm going to say this. Every pastor in the valley that I've talked to, I'm just going to say, nothing hurts more than when all of a sudden someone's not here anymore. And I have no idea why. Every guy in this valley has been hurt that way. So if someone comes to me, hey, I'm new to your church. I'm like, great, where'd you go? Church of the Valley? Awesome, I love Boyd. I love saying that, man. You know my pastor? I sure do. I love him. Have you talked to him? Well, no. It's like, well, then you need to go talk to him. Don't even come here. Unless the first thing you've done is honored your leader. You guys, we're people, man. And you matter to us. You matter to us, okay? So, God in all this diversity gives us leaders, and let's do it. And their other job is to equip the saints, this is verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith, there it is again, unity, and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What are you guys? You are the body of Christ. That's who you are. 1 Corinthians 12:27. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So how is the world going to see the glory of Christ? God's whole plan was, I'm going to create the church. And then the church will be his body, so they'll actually see his body. Now, you guys, you don't know me yet, but if you did, like people who know me, if I'm walking on the other side of the street, okay, and you see me walking on the street, you could go, hey, there's Dave. That's what you would do. Now, if I took a part of my body, let's say I took my finger and ripped it off, which I can't do, by the way, unless an outside force comes and does that. But if I ripped off my finger and set it on this stand right here, okay, if I could, how many of you would look at my finger on the stand and go, hey, it's Dave? See, here's what you need to believe. I want you to laugh as much about your individual way of walking with Jesus as you just did about that illustration. Because if you're not connected to this body and you just go to church and you're not part of the body, you're like a finger on a stand. And God's will is to go, no. As soon as Pentecost happened, the Spirit brought everybody together. That's what the Spirit does. Because it's the body of Christ. It's our unity with each other that actually is going to make the world go, Jesus. Amen? Yes. You guys catch this? Okay. This is so fun to give you hard teaching and then go home and won't be back in months. So what's going to cause them to see what Jesus can do? And it's not just a body. I've seen a body without a spirit. I saw my mom when she passed away. And as soon as I walked in the hospital, it's like, wow, she's not there. So the only way the world's going to see the work of Jesus, what Jesus can do, is when each part is full of the Spirit. It says we were all given one Spirit to drink. It's the Spirit of God. inside of us that unifies us. And when each part is full of Spirit and the Spirit's free to empower your gift, holy smokes, the world starts to see Jesus Christ. So we're supposed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I remember when I first started and I was real young, I had no idea what I was doing. I thought I had to do everything. Because the church always thought that the pastor did everything, right? Isn't that why we hire you? Get the work done. And then you go, oh, my job description is to make you work. Well, that's not why I go here. But we're supposed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow. So when each of you at Church of the Valley is actually a working part of the body, then that's what makes the body grow into the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's the only way that we can be to the praise of his glory. Grace was given to each one. And that means, it's so cool, man. Every one of you in this room, God's given you grace. He's given you a gift. You, listen to me, man, you matter way more than you know. You're an expression of God that nobody else can be. You're a tool in the toolbox that has one thing that it can do. You ever go for, you know, anybody try to fix something and you're looking for the dumb, stupid tool you need? Because I have tools, but I need that tool. See, I think sometimes God's looking at his church, Jesus goes, where's that tool? Oh, they went golfing? Oh, where's that tool? Because I have a specific job. You are so uniquely gifted by God for special purposes. So he says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And every one of you in this room has been called to the praise of the glory of Jesus. And he's given you unique, diverse gifts that if you do it together, come on, man. I want to get to heaven and go, well done, man. Good job. So now be ready, because here's what will happen. If you actually jump in, so in other words, so if you just attend, by the way, Jesus did not, you guys know that Jesus didn't die on the cross so we'd attend something for an hour? I used to tell my church that all the time. But in America, we're like, dude, I went to church twice this month for an hour. I had a friend who, he called himself the 60-minute Christian. He literally would watch his watch and it's like, I gave you my 60 minutes. He's like, I'm done. Jesus didn't die on the cross so we'd attend something for an hour. He died on the cross to fill us, to reconcile us to God, wipe out our sin, fill us with the Spirit of unity, bind us together to show the world what it is to be truly love. Now here's the deal. If all of you decide to go, okay, I'm going to actually listen to Jesus and I'm going to jump in here. You know what's going to happen? You're going to grow. That's what it says, for the building up of the body. The church will actually grow. Now, here's the problem. If you do, that means change. And here's the other thing. Things can't stay the same if you grow. So you actually have to be flexible and love Jesus more than the way things have been done. Which is also can be very hard for those of you who've been a part of even Ecclesia and hung around. But I'm just telling you, be ready for something new, man. You cannot grow without needing to change. That's just how it works. So pray for and support your leaders. I'm telling you, you read all the books on change. Nothing is harder as a leader than leading an organization through change. Because change is hard. Okay? So jump in and pray. All right, here we go. I'm almost done. Here's the last one. Glory of unity through love. And I'll be quick on this one. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We are to grow up in every way into Christ. That's man, you guys, that's all that matters. Ephesians 3, Paul said, everything is garbage compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. It's knowing, I think ministry is garbage compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus. Susan and I started a new ministry just trying to help Christian leaders and spouses now after doing this for 39 years. And one of the things I see all the time, and I did it too, is we actually start loving ministry more than Jesus. And then it gets all screwed up. We are to grow up into him. And then from him, his love gets poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he's given us. Grace, we receive grace. And now God can do for us what we cannot do. And if we're working properly, I love how that says that, when each part is working properly. And here's the deal, you guys. Without love, what are we? Okay, you guys know this, so let's play. Without love, we can do nothing. So I can get up here and speak, and I prayed to love you this morning. I really did, because I get up here, and I just want to show what a good speaker I am. I'm a gong. Dong! Gong! Like, nothing's going to happen. You can give away all everything you got to the poor. Without love, it doesn't mean anything. You have faith that moves mountains? That sounds pretty cool. No love? Nah, nothing. So this love is important. In the body, right? When my mom died of cancer, we learned all this stuff about cancer. Do you know that every healthy cell in your body right now is actually receiving something from the body and giving something to the body? That's what every healthy cell does. Except the cancer cell. The cancer cell takes from the body and gives nothing back. And if you've seen anybody ravaged by cancer, it's anything but glorious. And the church, if we go to the church and as a part of the body, which each one of us are, and all we do is, hey man, I'm looking for good message, looking for good worship, you know, and you don't give anything back to the body, the body's not glorious. It just can't be. To love, you must receive. Yes, I love this woman. I love being loved by her. But I love to love her. And that's the only way. That's the way of God. Joined and held together. So I guess my question for you this morning is who are you loving? So when Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branch, you know, abide in me. If you remain in me, grow up into Christ, and I remain in you, he goes, you will bear much fruit. It is to my Father's glory that you would bear much fruit. So, and then he says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in me. Cool. And here's my command. Let's say it together. Anybody know? Love each other as I have loved you. That's it. He goes, if you love each other, you will remain in me and you will bear fruit just if you just love each other. And then the glory will come to God. So my question for you this morning is, who are you loving at Church of the Valley? Like Jesus loved you. Who do you love in this room? Who do you love in this body? The way Jesus loved you. That is his number one command. Without that, anything else done here, any other quote unquote good thing that's done is nothing. His number one thing that Jesus is saying, would you guys love each other the way that I loved you? Lay down your life for one another. Accept one another, forgive each other, encourage each other, be joined and held together. Who are you joined and held together with at Church of the Valley? Because you're the body of Christ, and every one of you is a part of it, and you have been given a calling to the glory and the praise of Jesus Christ. So make every effort. Band, come on up. And I don't know, if, you know, from today, what it is, there's some pretty clear application though from today. Number one is if you are at odds with somebody, go to the throne of grace and say, Lord, I hear you. I hear you. Would you help me? Please forgive me for not fighting for the unity of the body. Would you give me the grace? Take a step of faith today and be reconciled to your brother or sister. Number two, if you've just been attending church, don't get duped into thinking that that's what this is about. It's not. Jesus loves you. He created you with specific purpose and specific ability to help bring glory to his name. And that's you, every one of you, finding who you are, fully engaged, so the body can be united. And then third, are you actually joined and held together here? Have you taken the step to get connected? Are you loving each other the way Jesus loved the church? Okay, I'm gonna shut up, but I just wanna say this. It's pretty easy to give you this message. It is not easy to live it. I have not lived these things, and I've seen the destruction in my wake when I don't. And I've needed help, and I've needed counsel, and I've needed prayers. And I know there's gonna be a prayer team in the back here. If some of you are sitting here, please don't just hear God's word and don't put this into practice. But if you're scared to put it into practice, man, go to the prayer team while we're worshiping. Susie, my wife, and I are down here. I would love to pray for you, for the Spirit to empower you through the power of God inside of you. Be glory in the church. So man, receive his grace, receive his love, receive it so that you can give it. Oh man, wouldn't it be so cool? Church of the Valley just like shining in the Salt Lake Valley because you're actually doing what Jesus told you to do. That'd be awesome. Let's stand and let's worship our God.